when he's ready for the word. Not completely convinced. I mean, he's hungry for the word. It's a little bit of a response. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Esther chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, amen. Praise God. You can look on the screen. Amen. Everybody standing that's able for the reading of the word. You might have your Bible app on your phone, but follow the kids, amen, and their example. Put it away when we're done reading scripture. Amen. Praise God. You can shop on Amazon after church.
Right. Amen.
Instagram will still be there. Right. You may have to scroll a little longer, but you'll be all right. Amen. God deliver you from your anxiety. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Esther chapter 2. Thankful again for everybody that's here today. Truly mean that. We love you. We appreciate you today. We're going to begin at verse 5. Amen. In Esther chapter 2, read about 6 or 7 verses. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have preached out of the book of Esther in the whole book. Amen. Especially during Purim, many, 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 many times. Amen. And there's so many details in the whole story from beginning to end and that you could we could pull out, we could minister on, we could do. But amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to give you what the Lord has laid on my heart today. Amen. Let me remind you, today is Palm Sunday. Amen. And we're not celebrating it, focusing on it specifically today, amen. But we know, praise God, that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, amen. And amen, I think it's evident that we're praising Him in this place today. Praise God. So we're thankful, amen. But we'll talk a little bit, amen, here shortly. But amen. Esther chapter 2, verse 5. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. When he had carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away, was Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her the things for her purification, with such things as belonged to her, and 7 maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids into the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed, nor her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Hallelujah. They're going to blast the shofar. We want you to lift your hands, honor God, and man, let's give him a shout of praise for his word right now. Come on. Hallelujah. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister simply on this thought. I'm not Esther. I'm not Esther. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not Esther. Amen. I'm not Esther. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we know and look at the biblical feasts, and the biblical feasts are filled with information, amen, that are significant, that point to, amen, they're prophetically significant. Information, amen, that is prophetically significant. And they point firstly, primarily, if I can say it like that, to Christ. And then secondly, they point to future events. Amen. So we see that God has set up and orchestrated and ordained, amen, the feast. So that, first of all, they point to Christ, most importantly, but many of them point also to future events. There are a few, amen, that are observed, but they're not really ordained by God. So God did not commanded as he did the other feasts to remember those things. But that doesn't mean that God did not arrange the events that led to these feasts or that led to these festivals. So it doesn't mean that God didn't set up, amen, and orchestrate everything that took place, amen, that led up, praise God, to them remembering these festivals. How many knows that God does nothing by coincidence? Amen. He does nothing by coincidence. So again, I told you we could preach a lot. There is so much information about the story of Esther, amen, and about Purim, and about the things that led up. And again, we preach so many different directions and different contexts throughout the year. Amen. When preaching on Purim, and you get to that point, do you think, what else is it, amen, that we can minister? But, amen, we're just going to real quickly, I'm going to skim really, amen, briefly on the background, amen, that led up to the events, amen, in the book of Esther. What we have to understand is that the Persians had overthrown the Babylonian Empire, amen, and many Jews who were taken captivity had conformed to the Persian culture. They had conformed to the Persian civilization, amen, so they were living their lives according to the Persian customs and the Persian traditions, and that even meant, amen, there was worship. Some even migrated to Persia, amen, itself. Some of them, even though they were taken captive, amen, in their ruling, some of them moved to Persia, which, by the way, is what we know as Iran today. So Persia in the scriptures is Iran in our modern times, amen. But the story in Esther is believed to take place about 30 years before the decree that allowed the Jews to return back home. So now they have been taken captive, amen. The Babylonian Empire had been taken over by the Persian Empire, amen. And the Jews now, some of them had moved to Persia, amen. Some of them, amen, had to adapt to the Persian civilization. And now it's about 30 years before the decree would go out that the Jews would be allowed to return to Israel. Amen. Ahasuerus was the king of Persia. He was, amen, the king. Ahasuerus is also referred to as Xerxes in the scripture. Xerxes is more of a title. Amen. Ahasuerus was his name. But he was the king of Persia. And the story tells us that he had called a 7-day feast, amen, for all of the people to participate. And on the last day of the feast, King Ahasuerus was drunk. Amen. He was so drunk on wine, amen, that he wanted his queen, whose name was Vashti, amen, who was exceptionally beautiful. She was a beautiful woman, and he wanted her to come to the banquet table at this festival so that he could show off her beauty. He wanted to revel with all of the other men and the people that were present how beautiful his queen was. But the Bible tells us, amen, that Queen Vashti refused to come to the banquet. She refused to show up. And the Bible says that this made King Ahasuerus very, very angry. And, amen. So angry that he said, there will be another one in your place. And so he had Queen Vashti murdered. He had her killed because she refused. How many knows that when the king called for you, you did not refuse coming to the king? Amen. So he had Queen Vashti murdered. And then they had to, so he had to find a replacement. So love story short, amen, there was a beauty pageant that was put together, if I can say it like that, in order to replace Queen Vashti. Now there just happened to be a Jewish orphan, amen, who was there in the province of Persia. Amen. A Jewish orphan by the name of Hadassah. Amen. Hadassah was also a virgin. Amen. And she was an orphan. Now, it's imperative that I mention right here that in the book of Esther, God's name is not mentioned one time throughout the whole book of Esther. It is one of the few books in the Bible that God's name isn't mentioned. But when we look at the details of the story in the book of Esther, and we look at everything that took place, We can see the hand of God moving and working and orchestrating everything that took place. Let me pause right there and just tell you, you may not see God's hand, you may not feel God's hand, but know that if you have put your trust and you have put your life in His control, His hand is moving in your life. God is working on your behalf even when you don't feel it, see it, know it, hear it, taste it, smell it, when it looks like everything else is falling apart. God's hand is upon your life. If you believe that this morning, give the Lord a good shout right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, praise God. Amen. We know, praise the Lord. Amen. The king knew of him was captain, amen, in his, amen, in his castle, amen, in his service, amen. He was a man named Haman. Haman was provoked to jealousy, amen, of the Jews to destroy them in Persia. So Haman, who was amen, a captain in the king's court, amen, he became jealous, amen, of the attention of a man by the name of Mordecai, which so happened to be Esther's, amen, or Hadassah's uncle. Amen, he had been given charge over her. Now Haman was jealous, amen, of Mordecai. Hallelujah. He was jealous of Esther's cousin. Amen. And praise God. And so Esther, hallelujah, was now made the queen. We know that Hadassah was chosen to be the king's replacement. So she now became the queen of Persia. Here is a Jewish virgin girl, amen, who was an orphan, who now by the hand of God has been brought into this beauty pageant, and she has been chosen now to be the queen in the place of Vashti. Haman now is very jealous of her cousin Mordecai. And so he plotted to have all of the Jews in the 120 provinces of Persia annihilated in one day. He plotted to have every Jew killed, amen, in one day's time. The Bible tells us, amen, hallelujah, that that day became the 13th day of the month of Adar. The month of Adar on the Hebrew calendar is equivalent to probably sometime at the end of February into March on our calendar. Amen. So the 13th day of the month of Adar was the day that was chosen to be the day of death for all of the Jews. Now, he decided this by casting lots, what we would maybe look at as dice. Amen. This was something that was a common practice. Even the prophets would cast lots to get an answer from God. Hallelujah. So he cast lots. Amen. And the number 13 came up. Amen. On the lots. And that was how it was decided. Now, it's interesting that Jewish tradition teaches that Moses died on the 13th day of the month of Adar. And if this was true, then Haman would have been especially excited and felt like that this was his sign, amen, to kill the Jews, because now he was going to throw it in their face. Because the one that had delivered them and brought them out of Egypt, he was now going to reverse that, and he was going to kill them and annihilate them. Hallelujah. So he plotted with the king. He worked and he got a decree, amen, that the king signed, that in this day, on this day, the Jews would murder. But in the meantime, Haman had special plans for Mordecai. He wanted Mordecai to be publicly shamed. And so the Bible tells us, amen, that his wife convinced him to build gallows, amen, on which to hang Haman. Amen. So she convinced him to have gallows built. And so he went and he convinced the king, amen, that Mordecai should be uttered, that Mordecai should be killed. Amen. But story tells us that this plan backfired, amen, on Haman. And the Bible says, amen, was hung on the very gallows that he had built for Mordecai, as well as his 10 sons. Amen. And so we know by that what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around and make it for the good of his people. Can I tell you that the enemy will put an assignment on your destiny? The enemy will put an assignment to annihilate your presence in the kingdom. He will put an assignment to try and remove you from the place and the call and the presence of the king that God has ordained. But can I tell you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? Amen. So tells us, again, I'm skipping lots of details for the purpose of our message today, but the story tells us now, amen, that Mordecai, hallelujah, that Haman ended up on the very gallows that was built for Mordecai. And guess what day that it happened on? The 13th day of Adar. So even down to the very day that he was going to kill the Jews was the day that God said, we're going to shift that around. I'm going to show you who's in control. You may not see me. They may not be worshiping me. They may not be having church in your presence, but my hand is upon my people, and I've got a purpose. I've got a plan. I've got a destiny. I've got a prophetic significance over my people, and I will not let you destroy them. Hallelujah. Somebody shout right there for victory. Come on, put it in there. Hallelujah. So Esther went before the king by the request of Mordecai. And he told her, he said, you were created for this purpose. Yep. Ooh, hallelujah. He said, you were created for this purpose. Amen. You were created, Esther, in praise. You were created and positioned in this place for the very purpose of saving your people. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? And the Bible says that she put her life at risk. Hallelujah, because no one requested the presence of the king, even the queen. No one went into the king without being requested by the king. So Esther said, if I perish, I perish. But for such a time as this, I will go in before the king. Glory to God. I'm trying to just lay the foundation here. Hallelujah. Praise God. And she called for a fast. And she said, tell the people you fast. And I'm going to fast. And I'm going to prepare myself. Hallelujah. And so she put her life at risk. Amen. To go in before the king for such a time as this. And this is how that Mordecai, hallelujah, it was flipped. And Haman was, amen, put on the gallows and killed. Hallelujah. And the decree was reversed. Amen. The decree of death on the Jews was reversed. And the king even put a decree of life that no one would be able to kill them, that they will live and not die. I come today to talk to somebody to tell you that you shall live and not die, and you will declare the works of the Lord. I feel that in this place. I said you will live and not die, and you will declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Stay with me. I got a foundation that I'm working on. So that's why the characters of this story are very important. So when we look at Hadassah, who is the main character, The word Hadassah, the name Hadassah, in the Hebrew means myrtle. As in the myrtle tree. Not myrtle as a woman's name, but myrtle as in the myrtle tree. Amen. Now, it's important for us to remember, amen, I pulled out my lulav from Tabernacles. Amen. That the lulav, which is the branches that are waved during Tabernacles, amen, to open up the heavens and to give God praise and to, amen, to worship Him. Amen. They are made of the myrtle branches. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. And what's interesting, amen, about that, more than just, amen, the myrtle branch was meant to give God praise. When you look at the myrtle tree, amen, and you look at the plant, there are many, amen, unique patterns that form in the grain of the myrtle. Amen. If you will look at the plant, there are many different patterns that form in the grains of the myrtle. The tree grows very slowly, and the struggle, amen, or the stress during growth causes unique patterns on the myrtle. Amen. So that no myrtle tree, amen, looks like another. Amen. But the growth, amen, because it grows slow, the stress, amen, that is put there, and the struggle, amen, to endure that slow growth causes there to be unique patterns. Can I tell you that we were all created for a purpose? Hallelujah. Every one of us were created to do what? Give the Lord praise. But every one of us, even though we were created in His image, that means that we have gifts and we have, amen, abilities like unto God. Amen. We can't do what God can do, but God has given us creative ability. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? So not only were all of us created, amen, to give God praise, hallelujah, but the struggles, amen, and the process, hallelujah, that we go through, the amen, the stress that we deal with as we grow has made each and every one of us unique. So even though all of us were created to do one thing, was to praise Him, because of the struggle and because of what you go through, it now makes your testimony unique and different from every other. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So that we may not look alike, but at the end of the day, our purpose is still the same. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? I need you to stay with me. That's what Hadassah, amen, her name meant in the Hebrew. Hallelujah. So she was meant to praise. She was meant to be a vessel unto God that would lead. What does the lulav do? When it's waved, it's to bring all of the world and everybody present into a place of praise. Can I tell you the hell that you have been through, the hell that you are going through, as is supposed to do nothing but lead others, amen, to know that the Lord, He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And if He done it for me, He will do it for you. I got a lot of scars, and I got a lot of evidence made to praise Him. Hands, fingers, thumbs, I was meant to praise. Are you hearing me? At the end of the day, my life should lead others into the same position.
Yes, God.
Now, Esther was her Gentile name. They gave her the name Esther. Her birth name, her real identity was Hadassah. Which we done told you what that means. But her Gentile name was Esther. Esther, amen, is the same name as Astarte or Ishtar or Ashtaroth. All of those were names of Phoenician goddesses. Pagan goddesses. So they changed her name from someone who was created to have a unique identity that would bring others into praise, a amen, and to honor God, amen, to a name that was nothing more, hallelujah, than a Phoenician sex goddess. Hallelujah. But it's interesting that, amen, Esther is really the name, amen, that what we would see for Astarte. Matter of fact, that's where we get Easter from. That's why the name Easter is pagan. I don't call it Easter. I call it Resurrection Sunday. Just some reference. Because Easter is a pagan name. Easter is the name of a sex goddess. Come on, ain't got nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. But anyhow, that's not my notes, but I see that in there. It's interesting that Esther is Astarte, and the root word of Astarte in the Hebrew is Boshet, and it means shame in the Hebrew. So in other words, hallelujah, they wanted to take the identity that God gave her as one that was created for the purpose to praise and bring others that what they went through, amen, that would make them unique, amen, so that there would be, amen, a specific praise and worship that would draw others to someone who bore shame, to someone who felt like that they did not belong in the presence of God. The enemy wanted to change her identity. And identity is what God spoke to me about preaching, amen, this year in Purim. You see, the enemy wanted to change her identity. Hallelujah. But God had other plans. Touch your neighbor, say, God's got other plans. I know the devil's been working overtime in your life. And I know some of you sitting here today do not feel qualified. There's some of you that do not even feel saved. Even though you lifted your hands, the enemy tells you that you're not even righteous, that you do not even have a right to be in the presence of the Lord. But I come today to remind somebody, you ain't Esther. Hallelujah. God did not create you to be an Esther. He created you to be Hadassah. He did not create you to walk around in shame and guilt. Jesus did not ride into Jerusalem on the donkey, give his life, lay in the grave 3 days, raise up on the third day so that you would have to live in bondage and shame. But he lives so you can live. Hang with me. The Hebrew letters in the word in the name Esther, they read Esater. Do you know what Esater means in the Hebrew? I will conceal. So in the very name, Astarte, of shame, give a virgin the name of a sex goddess. Somebody who's pure trying to bring shame upon them. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. In the very pagan name, hallelujah, is the meaning I will conceal. You know why God allowed that? Because God was concealing her true identity in the midst of what the enemy was doing. They didn't know she was a Jew. They didn't know, amen, that she was a blood-born Jew. And that Jewish young girl, amen, was made the queen of Persia. So God let Esther, amen, bear that shame for just a little while, amen, to show that I will conceal what is yet to be revealed. And I said that to say this. Some of you feel like the identity that you're carrying in the spirit is one of shame and guilt. I'm telling you, but God has hidden in the plans. God is hiding and concealing in the midst of what the enemy is trying to do. I need you to stay with me. This is why he orchestrated her life's events. He concealed her as queen. Now we know, just to put a little comma there or a semicolon, that came at Kosharosh, the reason that it got turned around, that Mordecai was honored and Haman was hung, is because God woke him up. Yeah, I said God woke him up. God woke him up and he began to read the Chronicles, the journal. That's what the Chronicles were. The book, first and second book of Chronicles in the Bible is nothing but the journaling of the king of events that happened in the kings. That's why they mimic first and second kings. So they kept a journal, they kept chronicles. And God woke him up. And he began to read. See, Haman's little thing was, don't you think that somebody that's worthy to be honored, that has done great things for the king, ought to be paraded on the horse in the town and put on fine clothes? And the king said, yes, let's do it. Because Haman's like, that's me. But God woke King Ahasuerus up, and he began to read in the Chronicles. And somehow he had overlooked the detail that somebody had set out to poison him. Someone had conspired to poison King Ahasuerus. But there was somebody sitting at the gate and overheard the scheme to poison King Ahasuerus. And that person went and he revealed, amen, the secret, amen, and the king's life was spared. Guess who that person was that revealed that secret? Mordecai. And when the king saw that Mordecai, he's like, why have we not honored this man? And he thought, here's the man to honor. And so when Haman came, thinking he was going to ride the horse and he was going to be recognized, God raised up Mordecai. Can I tell you, don't worry about what everyone else says. Don't worry about what anyone else does. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Because if you trust in the Lord, in due time, he's going to elevate you into the position and the place that you need to be, as long as you remain Hadassah and not Esther. Amen. With me, I'm still laying the foundation. Astarte was that Persian goddess of fertility. Her name meant lust. She was the goddess of sexual lust. And can I tell you, Hadassah was a virgin. I need you to hear me. She was a virgin, but the enemy wanted her to conceive lust and deception and accept death to the purpose of God's people. He wanted her to conceive the lust and death. He wanted her to believe the deception that there was nothing she could do, amen, to bring deliverance to the Jewish people. The enemy wanted, hallelujah, praise God, he tried to abort a future of freedom and praise. She was yet to be revealed who she was, and the enemy was trying to abort that before she ever gave birth to it. Can I tell you, that's why he lies to you. That's why he tries to convince you of the lies and the deception, because he wants to abort your future. There is a destiny assigned to every being in this place, and it was assigned at the moment that you were conceived in your mother's womb. And the very moment that you gave a first breath, that began to open up. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. I know the expected end and a good future. Come on, somebody touch your neighbor and say, your future is good in God. Hang with me. He tried to abort a future of freedom and praise. Right now, they were in bondage. Right now, you feel stuck. Right now, some of you feel like you can't get out of this. You feel like the sickness. Amen. Everything that is surrounding you. Amen. The spiritual warfare that you can't get out of it. Hallelujah. The enemy wants to abort your future of freedom. Hallelujah. But let's look at Haman now. Haman, who was the arch enemy to, amen, the people. His name name in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word sorer. Sorer in the Hebrew means antichrist. So he was the opposite of everything that Jesus is. And God was going to use a virgin bride to bring deliverance to the people. I need somebody to help me in this place. Does that story sound familiar to you? There was a virgin named Mary who the Holy Ghost hovered over her, and she conceived in her womb, and his name was Jesus. She had never been touched by a man, but the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, conceived her. She brought forth her son Jesus, and on Palm Sunday, 33 and a half years later, here he comes riding in on a donkey. Somebody help me. They shouting, King of Kings, Hoshiana, Hoshiana. They thought he was going to set up the earthly kingdom. They didn't realize that deliverance was passing right by their way. Hear me. God would use a virgin bride to bring deliverance. Can you? I want you to hear me. The enemy wants to cancel our future by convincing us to accept a false identity. We're living in a cancel culture. Can I tell you the only thing that has permission to cancel anything is the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus is the only thing that has the power to cancel anything. You might get canceled on social media. You might get canceled on your job. You might even get canceled in your family. Can I tell you something? The enemy wants to cancel your future by convincing you that you are something that God did not create you to be. I've been there. I struggled. Amen. My struggle with same-sex, amen, attraction. For years, the enemy tried to tell me, tried to convince me that I was created to be that way, that I was born for that purpose, and I could not escape it. And I served the Lord and lived my walk with God for 15 years. But at the age of 30, I not only discovered my identity, but I discovered the identity of my Heavenly Father. And that's when I realized that I was not created, hallelujah, to be what the enemy was trying to convince me was my identity. And there's some of you struggling. There's some of you that struggle with same-sex identity. But I want to make clear, I'm not just talking to those who struggle with same-sex attraction. There's some of you that struggle with your identity in Christ. You cannot comfortably come up to the table of God, sit down, and enjoy a blessing. Because if you partake of it, the enemy tells you that you're not worthy of it, and you didn't deserve it, and you regurgitate it, or you don't let it give you the power that God designed it to be. And then you spend days and days repenting and trying to retract it, trying to make yourself worthy when the blood of Jesus has already canceled your debt. Here's what you got to be reminded of. Haman was an Amalekite. The Amalekites were the descendants of Esau, the people of Amalek. They were descendants of Esau. The Amalekites hated the Jews. I want you to hear me. My foundation's about done. I'm going into the very new place of what the Lord has placed in my heart. They were descendants of Esau who hated Israel. It was in their DNA. I'm letting you get a hold of that. It was in their DNA because they had been taught from Esau's place of bitterness. Esau's bitterness had sown hatred and inbred hatred for Israel. And generation after generation heard of this hatred for Israel. And their purpose was to die, that they did not have a right in the covenant of the God of Abraham. Are you with me? It was in their DNA. Now let me remind you of something. That words change our mindset. I'm gonna try to slow down here. Because we got some stuff I want to teach you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Sure it is. Words change our mindset. You say, what do you mean? What are we transformed? When the Bible tells us, amen, what the Bible tells us to do with our minds? Renew them. Why? Because stuff gets in our mind and it begins to dominate our thinking. That's why a negative words, negativity, I said this the other day, has nothing to do with circumstances. It's a state of mind. But there are some people who are negative, and it doesn't matter what they have, who they're with, how blessed they are, they will find something wrong with it. Negativity is a state of mind. It's not based on circumstances. So, in order to change our mindset, we have to do what? We have to speak the opposite. So if there's hate and bitterness, we got to speak love and peace. Love and forgiveness. Are you with me? And how do we do that? Not your question. The Word. The Word of God. We transform our mind. We change our way of thinking with the Word. Now let me remind you, we're getting scientific here. God created science, not man. Man has discovered it. Not all science is God's science, but that's beside the point. The point is God is the ultimate scientist. Hallelujah. Praise God. Human thinking operates as signals that activate genetic expression. I told you this a few weeks ago. That when you speak life, that your words, or you speak death, our words can alter our DNA. So be like, so our human thinking operates as signals that activate genetic expression. The signal that's created by our thinking passes through the cell to its nucleus and then enters the chromosome. You get that? So the thought, whatever it is, but now we're speaking about good thoughts. But the thought creates a signal that passes through the cell in your brain to its nucleus, and then it enters into the chromosome, which then activates a strand of DNA. The code is then read. It is a code. So once that DNA is activated, and that signal, amen, takes that protein and goes into that chromosome that activates, amen, a strand of DNA. The code is read, and it's copied, which serves as a guide to build proteins. It's called RNA. So you're like, I didn't come to church to learn science. It's going to get better if you want it to. If you think it is, come on, somebody. As a man thinks in his heart, so shall he be. Whatever kind of man you are, whatever kind of woman you are, is what you think. Come on, I didn't write that, God did. So that code now is read, and then it's copied, and it serves as a guide now to build the proteins that are needed to accomplish what the signal has sent. That is RNA. Now, these proteins hold the info as a thought or a memory. That's why people have memories ingrained in their DNA. That's why demons will attach themselves to thoughts in your mind and memories in your life. Come on, somebody. They will attach themselves and they will take on the identity of that thought or that memory. And if you are not careful, you will give them access into your life, and then they will begin to have control over your thoughts. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to help somebody today. Hallelujah. So this is how our mental state directly affects our physical body. That's why when you think negative thoughts, understand that that right there sends a signal, and it will create a genetic expression. It will go into your DNA, and there in your DNA, that thought, that code that is sent, then the RNA, which acts as a photocopier or a copier machine, will then take that and copy it. And now it becomes a thought or a memory. So that when you are in the middle of the night and you're struggling, that thought keeps coming back to you, back to you, back to you, back to you, that telling you you're not worthy. You are nothing. You might as well quit. You might as well give up. Ain't nobody over there likes you. Ain't nobody over there wants you. You might as well just lay it all down. Go ahead and just take your life. Kill yourself, because that's what you were destined to be. Come on, somebody. But I got a word for somebody today. I got something that can change your DNA. Come on, somebody. This is how your mental state brings sickness in your body.
Yep.
Now, I learned some meanings of some words this week. You're like, oh no, you and your vocabulary. Interpret that however you want. I love you. But I'm more concerned about your future and about your destiny than whether or not you want to hear what I have to say today. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? What is DNA? It's deoxyribonucleic acid. Most of you know that, right? Some of you probably don't, but it is. DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. The Latin root of deoxy means God. Stay with me. The Latin root of deoxy, which is the D in DNA, means God. Ribo, the Semitic definition or interpretation of ribo is rabbi.
Oh, stop it.
The Arabic translation is master, which comes from the word robe or lord. So we got deoxyribo. The word nucleic is interpretation means at the center, where we get nucleus. So we got deoxy means God, ribo means master or lord or rabbi, nucleic means at the center. What is acid? Acid is like chemical fire.
Come on.
Now I got your brain turning on. Come on, I'm not making this stuff up. And I'm like, God, babe, but people don't think I'm nuts. I just might as well step right on out there and jump off the cliff. But if one of you set free in your mind, if one of you will walk out of here saying, you know what, I'm not an Esther, but I was created to be a Hadassah. I was not created to walk in shame and torment. Hallelujah, it's not in my DNA. That's not who I was created to be. Then it's worth it. So we got deoxy means God. Ribo means Lord or Master. Nucleic means at the center. Acid is a chemical fire. So DNA literally is God, Lord and Master. The fire at the center of my being. That's what DNA is. It is God, my Lord and Master. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. It's the fire at the center of my being. Now let's get in the Bible. Can we get in the Bible now? You're like, that's not scripture. That's how I feel today. I feel this in me. I feel this in me today. I'll probably never preach this ever again. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So we had it in the beginning. He didn't need anybody else's assistance. And with the Word, he spoke this world into existence. With the same Word and his breath, he created man. So in the beginning was the Word was with God. Then, amen, we get into the New Testament, and the Bible says that we're talking about Jesus, right? We get to this Palm Sunday. We gotta put Jesus in there. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. It said this about Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So if I can say it like this, the Word took on human DNA. This is why Jesus was sinless, because there was no sin in his DNA. His DNA was from God. Somebody help me. How do you hear me? He was tempted, but there was no sin in him because it was not in his DNA. So that Word took on flesh and got DNA. So DNA is the God molecule that actually is the blueprint on how to make a human being. Every one of us got DNA. Some of you probably seen that. There's a thing about the shape of DNA. I don't know what it's called, and I ain't gonna claim to act like a dude, but it looks like a cross. You say, I don't believe that garbage. But you believe the lie of the enemy. That'll tell you you ain't worthy. That'll tell you that you don't belong. Oh, come on, somebody help me. Now, I need you to hear me. I'm about to finish this. DNA is the God molecule that actually is the very blueprint for how to make a human being. So every molecule, every protein, every substance in your body was coded and programmed for in the DNA. Yes. Tell me who but God can do such things as these. The big creator with a capital C. All the rest of us are lowercase c. Come on, we got to bow to the big C. Hallelujah. Come on. So every molecule, every protein, every substance in your body has been coded and programmed for in the DNA.
Amen.
So how does it get expressed as a protein. How did it get expressed physically out of a word? Are you listening?
Yeah.
I'm still preaching. I'm not Esther. How does it manifest in the flesh? So if it gets to the DNA and the RNA photocopies it, makes copies of the code, now the code has to be sent. The protein has to be sent to where it's needed. That's how it gets manifested in the flesh. How does it get there? By mRNA. Which is messenger RNA. Anybody that's ever paid attention to COVID ought to ring a bell. Bioengineered mRNA. Come on. That ought to ring a bell. Messenger RNA now transports that code, that photocopy, to where it's needed so that it can become manifested in the flesh. It's not hard. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. Look, I got to dumb things down. So if DNA is the God molecule, how does he communicate to us? The word. He sends messengers. Preachers. Prophets, teachers, evangelists, come on somebody, with a message. Much like I'm bringing to you today that you're not an Esther, but you are an Hadassah. But that thought that's been in your mind so long is now in your DNA. You may not have realized that until today, but trust me, it is. That's why you identify with it. Because it is now in your DNA. So let me give you an example. You cut your skin, right? You get a cut in your skin. The message went to the cell from the DNA. A protein was destroyed in some cell as your skin was cut. Now you need an X amount of these units to replace what got destroyed. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Don't lie to me.
Yeah, you are.
Don't patronize me. Gets on my nerves. Don't like to be patronized. I don't think anybody does, but you know what I'm saying. So you cut your skin. Now there's a message sent to the cell from the DNA that the protein was destroyed in some cell. Now you need an X amount, let's say 200. You need 200 of these units to replace what was destroyed. The mRNA, the messenger RNA, comes out with that message to code for that protein. So now it makes a copy. And those cells now make the X amount of copies or 200 copies of the exact protein, and that messenger RNA now takes that protein to the injury and puts it, replaces the proteins that were damaged by the injury. This is what we call healing, and we take it for granted. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? But it is in our DNA. Amen. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. The DNA was in charge from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And when he spoke a word, it brought into existence. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. That brings the healing. Hallelujah. It gave a command. The DNA was in charge. It gave a command to the messenger RNA to go make a protein. Then, hallelujah, that protein now goes to the source of injury, and it eventually brings healing. He sent his word, and it healed them. You know how you can alter that lie that is in your DNA? The word of God will send. Somebody help me. The message, the DNA will send the code. Oh, come on, somebody. What was there in charge in the beginning? Your DNA. What was there in the beginning? The word. You speak the word. That word will go to where you need healing. That's how we can receive a healing without having hands laid on us. Speak the word. It's the DNA of our God. Woo! You say, I don't believe that. I don't care if you do or not. I do, because I've experienced it in my life. That's how you can get a healing, by declaring the word, because it is DNA altering. Are you hearing me? Is it making sense? God help me to help it make sense. This is creation. I feel this all over me. I feel like I could explode. I feel like I could just. I'm liable to grab somebody and shake the stuff out of me. That's what I feel like. So that means creation is taking place every second, every minute. Why? Because there is a God at the very center of our being. It's in your DNA. And the negative thoughts and the bad experiences has altered your DNA, and it's created a genetic expression, a mind that says you are Esther instead of Hadassah. But I come today with a message. From the messenger in our RNA. I'm just going to call him the Holy Ghost for today. Hallelujah. That's got a message from the original. Amen. The DNA that was there from the moment you were conceived. It was that word. That's how the sin of your forefathers is in your DNA. Because those before you, amen, pass it on. It's in your genetic code. But you can break the curse by the blood of Jesus. And you can change your very genetic makeup. And you do not have to be an Esther, because you were created to be Hadassah. Ain't nobody but God can make that kind of stuff up. That's why the word is quick, powerful, active right now. I've said it thousands and thousands of times. Hallelujah, that the word of God is a sword. So it's like this. In the spirit, the word is. Every second, it never stops being active. So what brings it active in your life? When you speak it out of your mouth, then it comes down, it gets in your DNA, it sends the code, and no matter how many copies you need, it'll bring. So the trauma, the soul wound, the bad memories, the lustful thoughts, the pornographic images that are burnt into your mind. Listen, folks, they're in your DNA. That's why you can't escape them. They are the very genetic makeup. But God did not create you. He knew that you were going to be born with sinful DNA. So that's why he sent Jesus here to go back on the donkey. I'm trying to be religiously appropriate on Palm Sunday. Trying to be churchy without being churchy. Because God help us if we don't worship him on Sunday. But look. What in the world did they use to praise him as he was coming through? Come on, somebody, can you hear me? The enemy, whoops. So like the myrtle, the stress, and the struggle might make some nicks and scars in you, but on the inside, you are still a myrtle. You're still Hadassah. You might have some scars that you've been through some hell, but your DNA does not have to operate like what you went through. So what's the enemy want to do? What did Haman want to do? He wanted to change. The enemy wanted to change Esther's identity, Hadassah's identity. Haman is the Antichrist. Everything opposite Jesus. So what's he do? He wants to change your... He sends an alien message. He sends an alien word to destroy the cell of truth in your DNA. He sends an alien messenger, RNA. I don't want to get carnal. But think about COVID.
Come on.
They put bioengineered mRNA
yep.
in the vaccines
yep.
because they want to genetically code you for sickness and death, and put that thought in your mind. Oh, help me, Jesus. Somebody's like, it's an alien. And close to any bioengineered anything in your DNA, he'll send that alien messenger RNA and he'll say, you're not Hadassah. You're Esther. You're nothing but a life of shame. You are what you've been through. All of those marks and thoughts and memories. That's all that you are. Nothing's ever going to change that. But I come today, I got my miniature Gallo. Funny story behind this. It was in 2019. We hung our Haman.
Yep.
I don't know if he's in here right now or not.
He's behind
you. Oh. I asked Derek, I said, I need you to build me a gallows. So I'm going to hang our Haman. I come to my office, and this is on my desk. I forgot to tell him I needed it to be life-size. I was like, that won't work. You got to... Got to go back to the blueprint and make it a little bigger. But I kept this as a reminder. I had never used it, brought it out until now. But I want to tell some of you, you need to hang the enemy that has been bringing alien messages to your life that is changing your genetic expression. And trying to alter your identity. Now the Jews, see, when they get in synagogue and they recount the story of Esther, they got grogs and noisemakers. I love to use this thing. You've been here in the past, no, to use it. But anytime Haman's name is said, anytime they say Haman, they do that to drown out his name. Because he's the enemy. He's the Antichrist. They also will write his name on the sole of their shoe. And so every time the name Haman is said, they will. I got the devil under my feet. He does not belong in my mind. He does not belong in my DNA, because I was made to praise. I had that statement in my notes before the kids sang that song. I was made to praise. Some of you may be wondering why all the students, amen, got reserved seating today. Amen, sitting up front here. Amen, maybe why some of them were just a little excited this morning. Because on Thursday in their service, hallelujah, they declared they were putting, amen, their Haman to death. Amen, and on the bottom of their feet, some of them, amen, have his name, have Haman on the bottom of their foot. Hallelujah, that's why they were leaping and jumping and dancing and moving. Hallelujah, why? Because there's a new name written down. The Lord is my shepherd. I trust in God, the one who's able. It's not in your DNA to be depressed, discouraged, broken. Come on, somebody. It's a word. Your true identity is concealed in your DNA. You just gotta get the message. And as many times as it's needed, that messenger RNA, that RNA will photocopy it. And it'll take it until healing comes. I come to tell somebody today, you're not Esther. You're not who the enemy has convinced you. The lies that you believe, the faults that you think incessantly outside of demonic influence, are because it is your genetic expression. It is in your DNA. And you will talk, walk, live according to that genetic code. That's why people can get set free from addictions that were in their bloodline, because that word made flesh. The word literally took on DNA when Jesus came down and walked among men. Some of you need to stop letting the enemy put alien messages. The lies and the memories and the thoughts that are there. The word, which was the original DNA. When you speak life, it'll literally go in. I'm not making this up. You can look it up. It's scientific. Your very words can alter your DNA. That's why you got to be careful how you talk to your child. Every time you tell your child they're stupid, they're dumb, they're ugly, they're gay, they're gross, they're worthless, you're putting that in their DNA. And so when they go to bed at night, when they're around other people, those thoughts, those words over and over and over and over, and they try to escape them and they can't. They come, they surrender, they answer to the altar service, they pray, they fall out on the floor, they speak in tongues, but the thoughts are still there. Now there's demonic things too, but listen, not everything's demonic.
Right.
Hear me. Some of you can leave this place and alter the very DNA in your body by receiving this message and letting it begin to bring healing. Now, healing don't happen overnight. I looked down this morning and there was blood all over my finger. I'm like, what the world? And I didn't realize that I'd cut my thumb. It's going to take a little bit to heal. But as soon as I cut it, My DNA started sending signals. Injury, 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 injury. And the RNA began to receive the signal and make proteins to come to this cut and bring healing to it. So right now, while it's hurting, sore, and even still bleeding, healing is already on its way. He sent his word and it healed them. Come on, somebody, stand with me across this place. They'll come to the music quickly. I've kept it a little bit. Stay with me. If you need to leave, we understand. But come on, stay with me for just a few minutes. Let's keep our minds on the Lord. Because I believe there's some life-altering. Supernatural. Holy Ghost DNA altering. Power. That's ready to be released in the life of some people in here today. The enemy thinks he's going to cancel you. He thinks he's going to cancel your place, your calling, your position. But the Word of God will come bring healing right now. So if you're in this place, first and foremost, if you're lost and you don't know Jesus, it's not your DNA to go to hell. I said it's not your DNA to go to hell. You were not created to spend eternity in hell. It's not in your DNA. But the sin that's in your DNA, if it's not washed by the blood of Jesus, that manifests in your flesh, and you don't ask for forgiveness and repent of it, it will take. But you can receive the message that Jesus died for you, repent, the blood of Jesus wash away that sin, and let the Word of God begin to come in and heal and change your identity to where I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I don't buy that. I don't use that. I was a sinner, but now I'm not. Amen. I'm a child of God, seeking, amen, pursuing the kingdom. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? I'm not an alcoholic. Oh, come on. How do I know? I know there's AA, AAA, amen, quadruple F, whatever. All that, no disrespect to none of it, but you are not. If you get born again, you are no longer an addict, but you are now on your way to freedom. Surrender to Jesus. He'll change your life in a way that you cannot even begin to imagine. While they're ready, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I now understand a little bit more about what's going on in my life. If you're ready to let go of that identity that the enemy has placed in your DNA, and you're ready to accept this message that you are not an Esther. I'm not Esther, but I am Hadassah. Put the spirit of Antichrist, the enemy, under your feet. Get out of your seat and come to me and pray with you. If you need to leave, I understand. If you don't,